Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome back to the Little Yellow Bird No Repeat Original Podcast. My name is John Rogers and how are you today? You look well. You look lovely, in fact. So, who do we have with us this week? Well, we have the same three head-butted corner flags as we had last week. We only have Zoe Whitford with us. Who is your favourite Norwich City Ian?
Ian Crook.
Nice one. Richard Jeffrey's with us. Who is your favourite Norwich City, Andy?
Hi, John. Linegan.
Andy Linegan, wow. And finally, Claire, what's that name of that Norwich goalkeeper?
Which goalkeeper, John?
Yeah, that Norwich goalkeeper. What's his name?
The one in goal?
Yeah, what's his name?
Yeah, John.
No, not him.
No?
Oh, just forget it.
Okay.
So this week, we beat Birmingham 2-0, and the game was summed up by a spontaneous and emotional minute applause, followed by a lot of sadness, a few tears, and a lot of shaking heads with reminiscing of the past. But enough of the welcome Zola got from the Birmingham fans. Let's do the podcast. So this is how it works. I'm going to ask my banter buddies three questions. The guys already know the questions, but they don't know the answers of their fellow banter buddies. So if they get through to the end of their answer whilst being original and no repeaty, they get 10 points. However, if they aren't original or repeat nonsense, they have 5 points taken away instantly. It's as simple as that. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
There's three yeses, so I have to press this button. Fuck. It's all right. Don't panic. I'm going to edit this out. No one will know. No one will know because I press this button instead. Is everybody ready?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll press this button then. It's a little yellow bird, no repeat, original podcast. It's a little yellow bird, no repeat, original podcast. Or is it?
Yeah, it is.
So, here we go. The best transfer window in the month of January goes to Zoe.
Yes, Norwich City's best signing in January has got to have been Dean Ashton. He was an exceptionally talented player, one of the most talented we've probably ever had. When we signed him, we went from a team that looked like they had no hope of not being relegated to a team that looked like they almost had some hope of not being relegated. They were relegated, but never mind. He scored a lot of goals. He was a very impressive player. But more than that, I was impressed by the amount of work he clearly had to do not to be any more chunky than he actually was. Mm-hmm. He was a chunk on the football pitch. I loved that. I'm like a big bloke.
Big bloke, that me all.
God, Rich, you're in here. I'm telling you because I've seen pictures of you.
This is taking a whole new turn.
It's outrageous.
Bit of meat on the bones. Don't see any of them these days. And
you don't, do you? I agree with that. Good for you, Zoe.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's my answer, Dean Ashton.
Dean Ashton, because he used the word chunk, and I hate the word chunk, never liked it. So, let's go. Now, I'm going to give you 10 points for that, because I loved it. I've never heard that before, so I'm giving you 10 points for that. That was very, very good. Rich.
Yo.
The best transfer for Norwich City in the month of Jan.
The month of Jan?
Yeah, month of Jan.
Okay, because when you sent the question, oh, this is going to be awful. It's your question is best transfer of any Jan for NCFC.
Oh.
So I thought Jan. I thought the name Jan. I'll just have to carry on with my answer.
Keep going.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be rubbish. The best Jan ever signed for Norwich is Jan in accounts. They got from Lovell Blake back in 92, I think it was.
Lovell Blake.
And she's... that's a company.
I know what? It is, yeah. I know Mrs. Lovell.
Norwich knowledge.
I know Mrs. Lovell
Norwich
Blake.
Knowledge.
Norwich knowledge.
Her name was Mary Lovell Blake.
Is it?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
But anyway, they got Jan from Mary. And she's been at 92. She does the accounts. She's very good at it. Never makes a mistake. Very discreet. And,
discreet?
You have to be working accounts, John. It's top secret stuff.
Is it? I'd be no good at that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, do you know how much Jim's on? Bloody hell.
But anyway, then I thought, well, hang on a minute. Maybe I've slightly misunderstood because surely it's a football podcast. John means a footballer.
Are you lying to us through comedy effect?
No, process. This genuinely happened in my head.
Okay.
So I thought, it can't be Jan, it must be Jan. So I thought, did we sign Jan Venegar of Hesselink?
No.
No. Did we sign Jan Aga Fjortoft?
Definitely not.
No. So we only ever signed one Jan, and that was Jan Molby.
Oh.
Yeah. Big Jan Molby. Made 3 appearances on loan, no goals. And until John Hartson took the record off him, he held the record for the fullest ever Norwich shirt worn by a professional athlete. That's distinct from the fan competition, which is there's plenty of out-of-shape Norwich fans who would beat him to that. But he was a big lad. So that was my answer. He's the only Jan we've ever signed, so he is our greatest ever transfer called Jan.
That's very, very good. 10 points.
Thank you.
Wow.
Claire.
Wow. Ooh. Pressure's on now.
Claire, who is our best transfer ever in the month of Jan for Norwich City Football Club? Who is it?
Well, my initial thought was the same as Zoe, that it was Dean Ashton, but then I just thought, well, everyone's going to think of Dean Ashton. So I did a bit of research because I couldn't really think of any other good signings in January at all. Although it does actually turn out we did sign Johnny Howson in January as well, just so you know. We did.
Oh.
Also very, very good. But I'm not going with Johnny. I'm taking a little bit of a risk. A lot of a risk, and I'm going to say Darren Huckabee. Now, obviously, we signed him in December, famously signed him on Boxing Day, as we now have that wonderful song that lasts for about 2 hours, the 12 days of Huckabee or whatever it is.
Thanks, mate.
Just so you know. But while I was doing my studying, I found out that the transfer window as we know it now with the summer and winter windows actually started in 2002-2003 season. Ooh. And we signed Darren Huckabee in December of 2003. So that was a year later. So he was definitely signed in the winter transfer window. So I'm just renaming the question slightly and taking a risk. So it's not January, but it was 6 tiny weeny days earlier than January. But yeah, so Darren Huckabee... not really just because of how great he was and what he did for the team, but really just because of the whole transfer saga that went with it. It was the best one we've ever had. I mean, we were all so desperate to sign him. No one could really think about anything else. We didn't think we'd be able to afford him. And his agent got sort of involved in it all and sort of started saying things that Darren hadn't said. And then Darren told him to piss off. And he went and sorted it all out with Man City himself. So it was all very on off. We were all totally transfixed by it. I definitely didn't actually do any work for about 3 weeks. I was, rather than x-raying patients, I think I was stuck to the computer just hitting refresh, refresh, refresh all the time, desperate for any news. I was actually obsessed. But it actually turned out that I found out about it before anyone else really did anyway, because on Boxing Day morning, my neighbours in Norwich, actually related to someone that's on the was on the board at Norwich City, and he was heavily involved in signing Darren Huckabee. So they rushed round in the morning on Boxing Day to tell us.
Who was it?
Oh, I'm not dropping any names.
Do
I don't want to get in trouble. It was a big secret.
I'll give you 2 extra points if you drop a name.
Google it.
Barry Skipper.
You did as well. As in, 2 invisible points that don't exist anywhere, and you've just...
Well, Barry, I hope
it doesn't take much to get it out of you.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. You brought the bloody club down from its knees, for God's sake.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so I turned up at the game, obviously very smug in the knowledge that we knew that he was going to be announced before the game, and it was all wonderful. Everyone was very happy, and it all turned out pretty well. But also, more than that, he didn't ever want to play against us when he left us, and he came back and from America and adopted Norwich as his home, and he's still obviously living there, and he started watching the team and season ticket. And yeah, so I'm going with Darren Huckabee. I know it's a risk, but I've got the facts to back it up that the winter transfer window, which is now the January transfer window, obviously started a little bit early back then. If you don't like it, take it up with FIFA.
Nice. 10 points and the bonus 2 points.
Oh, exciting.
For dropping a name. That does go to everyone else. If you want to drop some names and you get 2 bonus points. So should we go through the scores quickly? Zoe, 10 points. Rich, 10 points. Claire, 12 points.
Ooh.
She's dropped that little name to get her bonus points. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to question
shout this week.
2. It's a little yellow bird, no repeat original podcast. So this week, Tim Close has scored a goal. He scored a bloody good goal, and then he celebrated like it was 1998. But what did he remind you of? And this goes to Rich first.
Okay, well, it was a great celebration, as you said. It was exuberant. He let himself go. He was so joyous to score, and the heading of the corner flag, mate, just finished it off nicely, which incidentally, that's actually a much more difficult header than the one he just scored with. He could have easily taken an eye out on the corner flag. He had to be very precise. If you watch him do it, you'll see he sort of thinks about it and, you know, headbutts the flag. Very good. But what did it remind me of? Well, I thought of a few sort of animals it sort of reminded me of, like a baby giraffe. You know, when they're born, they just get the hang of standing up and they're a bit unsteady on their feet, and then that particular baby giraffe is introduced to a downward slope, but I thought, no, that's not quite right. And then I thought he rose like a beautiful sleek dolphin breaching the surface of the ocean, spinning in the air just for the fun of it, before crashing back down into the surf. But I thought, no, that's not quite right either. So stick to what you know.
Always.
And it was reminiscent of a drunken night out, basically. It was a drunken night out in microcosm. So if you picture a new father, he's been at the hospital, his wife's had their first child, he's obviously very happy. He goes down to the pub to celebrate, nearest pub to the hospital. That's a few too many. He leaves the pub, he's saying hello to strangers and loves everybody. He grabs a granny and gives her a big kiss, and he's very happy. He swings around a lamppost with an arm outstretched and he throws his hat in the air, just like an old musical. And like in a musical, he tries to do one of those jumps in the air where you click your heels in midair. But he's had a few too many beers, so he can't quite carry that off, and he lands a bit awkwardly. And this is where we turn to Tim's exuberance to the corner flag incident. He sort of turns from a happy drunk to a confused drunk, and he lashes out. He's unsure where he is all of a sudden. He sees a blurry image in front of him. He's not sure what it is, right in his face. He's not sure if it's a friend or a foe, so he just thinks, I'll put one on this. I'll stitch that pal, he says. he puts his head on it. And that's what Tim did. That's what it reminded me of. He didn't end up in a cell. That's one sort of small mercy. And that's how nights out can go wrong. But how celebrations can go so right.
Ah, oh, very, very good. I love that. 10 points, no question whatsoever. So let's move on to Claire.
Okay, yeah. Well, it didn't really remind me of lovely baby giraffes and things. It reminded me of something that I couldn't quite put my finger on, but it came to me that it was a Diego Maradona in his drug-fueled celebration in the 1994 World Cup when he scored against Greece. Obviously, Tim Closer isn't on drugs, I would hope and presume. He's too nice and too good a boy.
Reminds you that Tim Closer is not on drugs.
He's not. And I will go on to explain why he is very good, a very good boy. So Maradona scored, he went crazy, he was running around like a lunatic, like a madman. He was all sort of wild-eyed and completely lost control, ran up to the TV camera and headbutted it. So Tim's was really very similar to that. He also ran around like a crazy fool because he is a crazy fool, and he was wild-eyed and he lost control of himself just because he was so happy. He had no comprehension at all of what he was doing and, ran up to the flag and headbutted it. So really remarkably similar, both involving
really remarkable,
both involving ecstasy, just of different types, and but even in the moment of pure joy and happiness, Tim had an important message, because he's got good morals, and he wanted just to sort of remind everyone that, hey, you know, you can have just as much fun without doing drugs. So what a role model he is. He really is. What a man. So, yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
That's some sort of interpretive dance. That, do you know what? That, just see that celebration you just did? That's definitely to say don't take drugs, guys, isn't it?
Winners don't use drugs.
Very good.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, Claire. Guess what?
What?
10 points. Ooh. Well done. This is going really well for everyone today. I don't know why. Just like, it feels like no, I've never heard this before. I just got a feeling I've never heard this before. I don't know why. So, Zoe, what on earth did Tim Closer remind you of? A dolphin? A giraffe? A drugged-up Argentinian? Who?
None of those things, John.
Thank God for that.
I think Tim should bring out his own range of wristbands. And these wristbands would carry the initials of his motto that he lives by, and that's WWAAD. That stands for What Would an Angel Do? Because Tim, to me, he is an angel sent to us from Switzerland or heaven or whichever place has the best cheese. And he's been no holes in that one. He's been sent to us to teach us lots of things about football and about life and about love and about hope. And ever since he turned up last January, he's been teaching us these lessons. He taught us how to hope again when he came into the side and almost single-handedly stopped us from going down. He taught us about despair, about sadness, and about never letting us get ourselves carried away with hope and expectation, because we ended up disappointed. But he was there to teach us about that as well. And this season, he's teaching us about his own lessons of having to learn new skills, even though he had plenty already. And that's championship defending, about defending against big lumps of strikers, lumping the ball and running fast at him. And he just carries on teaching us things. And so on Saturday with his celebration, leaping like a masterful Mother Teresa to head the ball in, wheeling away with his cloak behind him. He just reminded me yet again of the beautiful angel that he is. And as he went back to the centre circle, I couldn't help but shout out at him, please never leave us. And I hope he never does.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's
lovely.
Sweet.
There's no question about it. Do you know what? I'm going to give you 10 points for that. But also, when we talk about heaven and cheese, you didn't go with the obvious joke about holy cheese because of the Swiss thing. And for that, I'm going to give you 2 extra points. You didn't cliche yourself. Well done. So let's go through the scores. Unfortunately, in third place is Rich with 20 points.
That's good, though.
That's very good.
Yeah. Very good.
And in joint first place with 22 each, it's Claire and Zoe. So basically, what you've got to do, Rich, is get that extra bonus 2 points. I believe in you. I bloody believe in you.
Oh, come on!
Let's do question 3 then. It's a little yellow bird, no repeat original podcast. So, the last time we won a game away was in the first day of October, which was during Ryder Cup times. Wow. What on earth can we do again to win away? I'm going to ask Claire first.
Well, okay, I'm actually going to take you back to that game on the 1st of October, which was the last game we won. And it's really rather simple, and I'm really not sure why we haven't already tried this again, but we need to wear our third kit again. That's the shirt we were wearing in that game, and we won. So I think that's actually the only time we've worn it all season. So it's got 100% success rate for away games. So it's a pretty crucial factor, I think, really, in all of it. Put that on and they'll evoke the spirit of the early 90s, when not only were we a great team, we were a quite amazing away team. We, you know, some of the results were we beat Arsenal 4-2, we beat Everton twice, including 5-1, we beat Spurs away, we beat Chelsea away twice, which isn't quite as impressive then as it would be now, but it still sounds good. And we beat Liverpool 1-0 at Anfield on the last day of the standing cop, which was a great game.
I was there.
I was there too, Rich. Oh. Probably a lot littler than you, but yes.
Yeah. She just told you.
What
you
trying to say?
I was there with my daddy. And then obviously the best of all, the most impressive of all, we beat Bayern Munich away in the Olympic Stadium.
I was there too.
Oh, I wasn't there. No, very jealous.
How old are you, Rich?
110.
Am I early 40s?
No, you're not.
41?
I'm 45, all right?
Early 40s. Classic.
Can I just say as well, Moxie's just gone.
What?
Yes, Moxie's gone. Carry on, Claire.
No, whoa. I'm going to go live.
Jess Moxie.
I've heard of him.
He's resigned and left the club by mutual consent.
This is live, breaking news. This is so exciting. Fuck this shit. Let's talk about Moxie.
Sorry.
Moxit
is official. Oh, wow. Should we drop the thing? Oh. Rich was going to win today, but fuck that. Let's talk about Moxie. So, he's officially left. Wow.
This is amazing.
So, what has happened?
He's gone, John.
I need to change it.
He's resigned.
Oh, my goodness.
He was the root of all our troubles.
Interesting. This is a breaking news. I don't know what to do. I feel like 9/11 has just happened.
Yeah. It'll be old news by the time everyone's listened to this, though.
No, it won't. I'll get it up right now as soon as I get it. So why do you think Moxie's gone? Obviously, it didn't go very well during the transfer window, or it did go well?
They're saying he's resigned.
Yeah, but they always say that, don't they?
Yeah, maybe.
The words mutual consent are also involved. So that would indicate that they discussed it between all the relevant parties before he resigned.
Wow.
But, wow.
He's resigned and left the club by mutual consent. That's weird, isn't it? To resign and then leave by mutual consent. Well,
we're not paying your full compensation, but if you resign, we'll pay some of it. I don't know.
Should we release our breaking news, Rich? I know, like, our exclusive.
Yeah.
We were hanging outside Carrow Road, me and Rich.
Yeah.
And then we saw Moxie coming down the stairs of the Gerald exit.
Yeah.
Doop, 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 doop. He walks out, and guess what he said to Rich?
You'll never guess.
You'll never guess. He went, all right. And what did Rich say back to him? Being the rebel he is, the 45-year-old, oh, I've been everywhere, mate. I can do everything. Just what he said back to him? Go on.
Piss off, you twat.
Nearly. Very nearly.
Very nearly that.
He went, hello, I love you very much. You're just Moxie, aren't you? Oh, my God. Or words to those effects.
Sad now.
Oh, wow. This is... So who's going to be taking over?
Who cares? Well,
balls.
Exclusive, John. I have to reveal the reason you saw me outside Carrow Road was I was in advanced talks. No, it's not me.
Should we carry on? I feel like we shouldn't carry on.
Yeah, I think we should carry on.
Okay.
Let's see what develops over the next 10 minutes.
Wow.
Back to it, eh?
We can talk about it at the end, I guess.
Sorry, Claire, carry on.
What was it? Well done. Yeah. Well done, Claire. 10 points. Happened. Good job.
Like nothing's happened.
Oh, is that it? Have I finished?
Yeah. Use the away kit, 10 points. Zoe, yeah. Your turn. What we can do to win?
Sack the chief exec.
Good. 10 points to you. Rich, what are you going to go for?
Oh, well, I've got an answer planned out.
Go on.
Do you want to hear it?
Nope. Just
basically,
say anything.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Psychology. Last time we won at Cardiff, think about that. What did we do? Oh, yeah. Lafferty went off at half time when we were losing 2-0. Cameron came on for 1-4-2, so don't start Lafferty. That was it, in a nutshell.
Excellent.
That's fantastic.
And sack the chief exec.
And do you know what? Oh, you idiot. You just repeated exactly what Zoe said.
Oh, so close.
You would.
Oh, John.
Let's talk about. Sorry, mate. That's the.
No, rules are rules.
5 points away.
I'm really upset with myself. Really disappointed with myself.
So Zoe and Claire are joint winners again.
Yay.
Well done, girls.
Gutted for you, Rich. I really am.
I'm getting closer.
Definitely.
I feel so itchy now because... So what we need is a tie-breaking question. Do you have your earphones on, girls?
Yeah.
Here we go then. This is the tie-break question to see who wins. Hold on.
Hi, this is Simon Thomas, and today's tiebreaker question is, what is Carrow Road's full capacity?
What is Carrow Road's full capacity? From the Simon Thomas. I can't say his name, I'm so excited. Simon Thomas. So who wants to go first? Let's go with Claire first. What are you going to go for, Claire? Official. Don't start Googling things.
No, I'm not. 27,205.
205. Zoe, hit me with it.
27,107.
Oh. Should we find out what the answer is? Good luck.
The answer is 27,244.
Oh!
Can't hear it.
Oh, well done. That was very good, Claire. You've only won one.
Hooray!
Hooray!
And Rich, got a little message for you.
Oh.
And commiserations, Rich.
Oh, a little cough and a laugh because he pities you. Oh, she's playing. So there we go. That was really good. Claire won during breaking news of Moxie being resigned. Wow.
It's a big one to win.
It is, isn't it? Wow.
I can deal well under pressure.
We've finally got something to push to people.
Ed Ball's quote, The role hasn't worked out satisfactorily for Jez, his family, or Norwich. All parties professionally and amicably agreed to move on.
Wow. Oh, no. So who's coming back?
Well, obviously, speculation's rife that the nephew Tom's taken over on Twitter.
Is it?
Nephew Tom with the...
God, blimey. Tom. Wow, I don't want to say anymore.
Well, stunning.
I'm very happy, though.
Are you?
It hasn't worked out, has it?
Let's give a quick 5-minute breakdown. It hasn't worked out because the ticket thing was a big thing. We knew that. I think that we've made that mistake. McNally made that mistake early on. So the club knew that if you put a stupid price on a club game, you're not going to get sales. And he fell for that one. Did he do a really poor job in the transfer window? That's the only thing we've got to go with, really, isn't it?
I think on the outside looking in, he didn't, did he? Because
no.
But you don't know what happened, do you?
Well, from what we do know, we know that Wilshere was 4 million rising to 7, depending on certain things. We got the guy from Ajax in, the young, the guy from Iceland early in the window.
Oh, yeah.
And we got Brady wanting to go in the summer. We got a good price for him. Olsen wants to go in the summer. Don't forget Moxie got him to sign a contract very recently that allowed us to get as much as we did for him. When we did the Wolves preview, the Wolves guy said he is good in the transfer window. He will. That's his strength. We saw him at his best and they saw him behind the scenes not at his best and decided it wasn't for him.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that we were in for a few more other players and they didn't come off, or he didn't do something, or, I've got it, he didn't get rid of Carl Lafferty. Maybe that was his number one thing on his appraisal. Number one, get rid of Carl Lafferty. Fail, off you go.
Whoever does that's going in the Hall of Fame straight away.
Yeah.
Mm. He didn't come across as a, how do you word this? Because McNally wasn't Little Norwich either, but he didn't come across as a family club man, did he?
He was very Midlands, wasn't he?
I think that's the main thing. I don't think he really understood what Norwich is all about in terms of the communication with the fans and the ticket prices, all that kind of thing. David McNally was, you know, he had a nasty streak, but he got that completely. And I think that's probably the difference. The transfer window I was quite happy with. I don't think it's anything to do with that.
Zoe, what do you think?
It's a very un-Norwich thing to do. I mean, he's not been in the job very long and, you know, we obviously don't like sacking people.
That's true. It's a very good point.
But, you know, there's obviously stuff been going on. I don't think the transfer window was a disaster, but, you know, probably what's been happening on the field hasn't been influenced by Jez yet, but maybe if they could see that things were taking a bad turn off the field, that would then make things, you know, go downhill on the field even further, then they had to take action, because it's, you know, hopefully that, you know, they've done that in good time now and we can turn things around off the field and, you know, the fans will be happier, and Alex Neil can get, and the players can get on with their job, and we'll see where we get to.
Yeah. It's quite a good point, actually, Zoe, because we haven't got rid of Alex Neil when literally 95% of the fan base were asking for him to go. So we obviously have trust in people, but to get rid of someone so important in the club so soon, interesting.
It's a bit like when you're sort of playing and the player's doing really, really badly in the first half. I always think, why don't you just take them off in the first half? Why do you have to wait till after the, you know, half time? So if they're bad, if it's not working out, just get rid before they do any more damage.
Well, there we go then. What an interesting little podcast. It kind of ruined everything, but it was worth ruining, wasn't it? So there we go. So Claire won. There we go.
Yay.
This is the podcast where Claire drops names like Kanye Westwood, where Rich talks about his average drunken night out, where he's clicking his heels like Dick Van Dyke one moment and then headbutting strangers like a total dick the next.
Yeah.
And then Zoe, she just loves a chunk of Dean. Hashtag Dean Chunk. So, goodbye to Rich.
Goodbye. David McNally's incoming.
What?
McNally.
I thought I was breaking news and I shit myself.
No.
And then goodbye to Zoe.
Bye, John.
Hello, Claire.
Hello.
I don't know why that makes me laugh every time. So bye everyone, thanks very, very much, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. Well, we'll probably have a new CEO, which stands for... I don't really know. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.